Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to Tigers and 20 Off the Boards, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast where we bring you breaking news and interviews with players, top recruits, coaches, and influencers from football and basketball across the city of Memphis and around the nation. Now, let's get to the episode. Welcome back to Go Tigers 247's Off the Boards. My name is Kenny Stubblefield, lead digital content creator for Go Tigers 247. And because it's training camp, I had to get a vet on. I had to get the man on the front line. I had to get the big 6'4", 246-pound man of twisted steel, Werdallis Ducksworth. What's up, man? How you doing?
Going on.
You doing all right?
Happy to be here, Kenny. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, you've been here for a minute now, and this is your fourth training camp with the University of Memphis?
Fourth training camp, yeah.
How's it going so far?
Going good. Pretty much already adjusted to everything. Just another day to get better. And, meet new teammates and train with them and get to know them better on and off the field. So,
let me ask you a question. As an older vet on the team, do you see some of these young kids come in and go, man, y'all looking young now. Y'all looking like young kids coming in and trying to play football.
Oh, yeah. Every day. Like, sometimes, like, we just be joking around, throwing age around, like, how old they are. Some of them say 17, some of them say 18. So here I am at 24. I'm like, God.
Like, you remember back when you were playing, when you started as a 17, 18-year-old, not being able to grow facial hair. Now you got goatee, big mustache, you got it all going on, and everybody's like, you got these kids coming in, right?
I wish I could get it transferring back, like, you know, getting a teleport or something, get back.
Hey, man, you're 24. I'm 41 years old, man. It only goes downhill from here, bro. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy. I'm going to try to.
So, man, you've been playing for quite a long time. Before we jump into this season in particular, I did want to ask you a little bit about training camps. And I love the – especially in football because, you know, basketball is such a different sport in terms of, you know, most kids, it's hard for – they don't stay in college long if they're – talented players, most of the time they go pro after a couple of years. You got the football is just a different sport in that regard. You know, the 3-year minimum time frame to be in college to, you know, before you can go pro and do your thing. And so it's interesting because you do get to have those conversations with guys that are 24 years old that are also on the same team as guys that are 17 years old, 18 years old. So as you like kind of step back into inventory over your time in college, how has spring, summer, and training camps, fall training camp times, how has it changed for you over the years? Now at 24, when you first joined college, how has it changed for you?
I feel like I take it more important now, like I take it more serious. Like coming in, I came in 2019, I transferred in, and at first, a young guy coming in, you don't necessarily like understand training camp, what's it for? It really for, you know, getting the technique and concept down pat and basically help you throughout the season. But now that I'm older and understand the game more, I like, it made it easy for me. And not that, like, everybody at this level, everyone have, like, the ability to do stuff. Like, you got everybody running the same speed, a different weight. Now, they were in the technique coming in. So it's basically like working your craft.
So what is the most important part of training camp for you? Is it the technique, learning the technique? Is it solidifying the technique? Or is it about team building? Is it about recovery? Like, what is the most important part about training camp for you?
The most important part to me is, like I said earlier, getting to know my players. Of course, you see that we're young. We got, like, a couple of vets on the team, but we got a young team. So basically, like, growing with them, getting to know them. And for me, my goal for camp is, like, to get better technique. Like, technique win at the junction point. That's all I do with the junction point. Technique, fighting off blocks. I feel like that's my focus point this year, training camp. Getting better technique, hands, and, like, getting off blocks. And, like, making my plays, basically.
Have you found yourself taking on kind of more of a leadership role with some of those young dudes on the team? Like, you got guys that who've been playing for a minute, but I think of somebody like Cam Jackson, who from everything I've heard is a physical beast. Like, he's a physical guy, but he's only been playing at Memphis for 2 years now. Do you find yourself taking guys like Cam and some of the even younger guys than him under your wing and kind of coaching them along at the same time?
Most definitely. Like, it was a huge role for me to fill in at first. But I accept the challenge. Like, I understand I'm the vet in the room. I'm older, so it's only right for me to make sure they straight and, you know what I'm saying, be a brother for them and basically make sure they do the right thing on and off the field. And that's why I'm here for, and being a good teammate.
So, I mean, on the line, you've got the two vets are you and Jalen. Y'all been playing together for a long time. You know, you talk about the team being young, but the defense has quite a few veterans on there. I mean, you've got you and Jalen on the D-line. You've got Zay, obviously. You brought in a couple of older linebackers in Jeff Canton and Tyler Murray. But then in the backfield, I mean, in the cornerback, in the secondary, you've got obviously Quindell, you've got Silvanta, you've got a bunch of guys that have played for a very long time. Have you noticed that there is a level of experience and knowledge on the defense that has helped you guys, like, with this transition into the Matt Barnes defense?
Most definitely. I feel like the guys we have on there, even with the young guys, they coming along. I feel like everybody bought in to, like, understand the defense and understand what we stand for. I feel like it made it easy on everyone. Like, everyone clicking. They want to learn more. And basically everybody, like when a new defense came along, everyone like a sponge. They want to learn, do the right thing. I feel like we're going in the right direction to be a good defense.
Absolutely. I mean, from everything that I'm hearing, even seeing, I got to participate in the first training camp practice for a little bit. And, you know, you can see it out there. The defense is much bigger. I mean, the line is huge this year. The defensive line is just physically bigger than any line I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into, you know, continue to go down this path of talking about this year, I wanted to take a step back and ask you kind of about your journey to Memphis. You played high school football in Mississippi, which I've said from the beginning, like, you know, you've got Tennessee surrounded by a lot of big states that produce a lot of high quality football players out of their high school programs. Mississippi has never been known as like a state because of the size of it, is never known as like one of the powerhouses of high school football. But if you look at the number of players that go on and play high level Division I football that go into the NFL comparative to the size of the state, Mississippi is right up there in terms of producing quite a bit of talent. What was your experience like growing up in Mississippi, starting to play football, and did you feel like, man, once you graduate high school, you're like, man, I'm ready to go, let's do this.
At first, yeah, let me see. I played receiver in high school, Like you said, small. So I played on both sides of the ball. I played D and then brought wide receiver. So I would have. I didn't want to play receiver, but I had to play by senior year because everybody got hurt. But I played at Miles High School, a small 2A school. Graduated with like 4 to 5 people. And I went on and played JUCO ball at Jones. It used to be Jones Junior College. And they switched it to Jones College in Ellsville, Mississippi. Played there for 2 years. Played there for 2 years, got recruited. Then I received my scholarship from Memphis, from JUCO. So I transferred here from JUCO in 2019. And I was a little undersized. Like I said, I graduated high school 175. And I left Jones at probably not even 200. I was like a hybrid in, something like what Jaylen Allen is now. Like a stand-up, off the edge. That's all I did, just run up the field. And I came up here redshirted under Storms. Put on some weight, got up to like, I want to say 237 my first year. I see where it's going. I trust the process. So then got a new coaching staff, of course. Then I went from 237 to like 243. Then started playing my first year. Had like four sets my first year.
Yep.
Okay, then I said, okay, it's working. The process is working. Let me keep dialed in. It came again with 4 sets. So this is it. This is my last ride, right? So this offseason, work with Noah Franklin. Working. I'm up to 265 now.
Okay, so they got you listed at 246 on the website, but they also had you listed at 246 coming in in 2019. So you were saying you were 200 pounds coming in in 2019.
That probably was updated.
So in 3 years, you've put on 65 pounds of muscle.
Basically, yes, sir.
Man, like, tell me about that, Loie. What was that process like for you? 65 pounds of muscle is an extreme amount of gains to put on in 3 years. Has your body responded well to that? I mean, obviously, you've been very productive on the field, but
feel like with my frame, it's not a problem because, like I said, I'm 6'4". I think I can hold some weight, but I really haven't noticed me gaining weight because they say. Like they say, other people notice the change before you will. And I try not to pay more attention to it. I just try to like this, work on it, and just show me the results later.
Yeah. Have you gotten faster? Like, can you tell your explosion, your speed, all that kind of stuff is just that much better?
Of course. My first step way better. I feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your, you're talking about, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about your experience because you talked about going and playing, you said it was Jones Junior College, Jones County Junior College when you were there. They've changed the name, but for you going from playing 2A football in Mississippi to then going to JUCO ball was, you know, everybody's got an idea, like fans and everything have an idea of what JUCO ball is like. For you, was that a, when you look back at your time at Jones, was it a beneficial time for you? Do you feel like, man, you were just getting in, trying to get out and get a, you know, reach your ultimate goals of playing D1 football? Or do you take a step back and go, man, I really, in those 2 years I was there, grew up, kind of figured out how to, you know, play football at this level? Like, what was your experience like at Jones?
I feel like going JUCO was the growth for me. I needed it as a young player coming out of high school. You know, you ain't fully bought into like the details or like your accountability. And I feel like under Steve Buckley, the head coach,
right?
That what he always just say, it's a little thing. It's a little thing. So I've been hearing a little thing since JUCO. So I can't come up here with new to me. So
right,
I really had like the idea of like the right thing on and off the field. Like it was rough. It was rough. And I feel like it paid off in the long run.
So when you came to Memphis and you were able to join a team that had a high level Division I weight training program, eating plan, just the staff that could help you put on the weight that you needed and get to the physical level that you needed to be at to be able to contribute, was that like when you walked onto the campus, were you like, whoa, okay, like this is the real deal kind of thing?
Oh yeah, it was definitely different. Like I first came here, like showing the campus, seeing how they do, and like the standard, I fell in love with it from the jump. Like I didn't tell them at first, but like I got back to the room, I brought my auntie, mom, and dad with me. I said, yeah, I'm coming here. I said, y'all get ready to make the.
How far is your hometown? Where you were born in, you lived in where again in Mississippi? You lived in Mize?
Mize, Mississippi.
How far is that from Memphis?
3 hours and 30 minutes.
That's an easy drive. So your folks come down every day? Do they come up every single day, every single practice? Or I mean, every game?
Every game, yeah. That was my whole plan anyway, to get away from home.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had like offers inside the state. But I ain't wanna go there. I ain't wanna be a disgrace.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've had conversations with quite a few players, and it was during a conversation I had with Jacob Likes a few months ago. He started to kind of share this idea as he was talking about being an older veteran now and being able to deal with, like, talk to, you know, younger players on the team. He started describing this idea of younger players coming to play in college, having their own mindset about what the college game is going to be like, and then having a welcome to Memphis moment where it was like, oh, this is different, right? Like, this is different here. And his story that I laughed so hard when he told this story, and it's caused me to want to ask everybody this question, was he lined up in on the scout team as in 2019 as a redshirt freshman, and lined up in practice against Bryce Huff. And he said that I gave everything I had. And he said, and I knew lining up against Bryce, it was going to be tough. Obviously, Bryce is in the NFL now doing his thing. He said, I gave everything I had. And he said, I made the block, but Bryce lit me up like unlike anything I've ever had happen to me before. And he said, and I got up and he was like, my bell was rung and I was, whoa, that was crazy. And the whistles were blowing. Get back in line. Let's go. Let's go. He's like, he told me, he goes, I took a step back and he goes, man, in high school, playing at CBHS here in Memphis, which is a big time high school program, that would have been like, that would have happened like one or two times in a year. Crowd would have been oohing and awing that play. And he said, but that was like play number 11 on a random practice day at the University of Memphis. And for him, that was a welcome to Memphis moment where he was like, man, college football's different. Like, this is just different. What is Wardalis Duckworth's college, welcome to college, welcome to Memphis moment where you realized, man, this stuff is no joke. It's different from what I grew up playing.
I wouldn't say my first year. My first year I came in, like, of course I went to JUCO. So I came in, when I transferred up here, I came in with a dog mentality. Like, I'm going to come up and work, outwork anybody. Like, of course I still appreciate it, but like, I came in, gave my all every day. So I, like, my whole plan was to beat the guy on the opposite of me. So I wouldn't say until probably my second year. Like, first year, four sets, I'm like, oh, I got together. Not young guy, not understanding the game, just on third down packet, going, thought it going to be easy, but like, it wasn't like that. So, like, I had, oh man. So, getting blocked, it wasn't Memphis, it was a game, though. Like, I played Cincinnati. Mm. I've been working a doubles fight. And the tackle, he literally just like took me and just threw me. I was like, okay, welcome to college football. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really had it. No.
You ever had a grown, another man your size just go boom and just move you? Like, that was.
That was the moment for me. I was like, oh man, welcome to football. I can't play high no more.
So on the defensive line, man, is it like, if you get high, if you get too high, man, it's over, right? Like, you got to go, you got to play low to the ground.
All about technique. So you got to right foot, eyes, hand, feet. That's basically you got to have. You take one wrong step, it can take you, it can cost you 10 yards back or 10 on the ground, like, wherever you pick.
That's incredible. Did you wrestle in high school?
We didn't have nothing. We probably had football, basketball, track, softball. That's about it. We didn't have no raffle. We didn't have no swimming team, no bowling team. Like, it was funny. I was just talking to Camonte about it yesterday, Hampton. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the stuff we had in high school. He said he had a bowling. I ain't never had no bowling. Like, sport. Bowling for sport in high school.
You said bowling?
Bowling. They had bowling in Memphis.
I didn't know they did that. That's crazy. That's crazy. So obviously,
I think I would have done it.
Are you a bowler? You like to bowl?
I think I would have tried it out. I ain't gonna say I'm a bowler, but I would have tried it out.
What is your low key sneaky sport that nobody knows Wardalis Duckworth plays that you feel like, man, if this football thing don't work out, I could do this.
Basketball.
Are you a baller?
I play basketball in high school. So.
I mean, you're 6'4", 260, so.
I had 39.1 game. It was crazy.
Did you play in the paint or were you a guard?
I was a center. Yeah, I played in the paint.
Yeah, but, man.
I had a little nice little soft touch around the rim. So like,
yeah, a little baby hook.
Old Sean Kemp style.
Hey, could you get up like Sean Kemp? That's the question.
Every now and then.
Sean can do it twice in one possession. We got one time in us to be able to do that, and that's it.
That guy was a freak.
Yeah, man. So playing ball, was it? Did you find, like, especially playing in the paint, like the congested paint in basketball, back to the basket, footwork, that kind of stuff. Has that footwork in basketball translated over to technique in football? Footwork technique, hands eye coordination, all that kind of stuff.
You know, I really didn't understand it, that it was the same thing until I got up here. Like the drop step, like they're basically like a run up field drop step spin inside. Like it all sports kind of tie in together. Yeah, but it definitely, footwork definitely helped.
So this last couple of years, man, like you've been one of the most consistent. You and Jalen have been the most consistent guys on the defensive line. To be completely frank, last year was a little bit frustrating, I think, for most Tiger fans because everybody was like, man, when Wardalis and Jalen are getting pressure in that backfield, the Tigers' defense is tough to stop. But it felt like that there was kind of few and far between opportunities for y'all to get back there because of the defense that was being run. Not to be disrespectful to any of the coaching, the former coaching staff, but from what I've gathered from everybody that's talked to me about, you know, on the defense, has talked to me that this defense under Matt Barnes definitely seems to be more built on pressure, more built on the defensive line being kind of the stalwart position group on the defense, that you guys are going to be expected to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback this year. Have you noticed that? Is that something that has been communicated with you that, yo, we're going to be sending quite a few people this year? You better get ready to get back in that backfield.
Oh, yeah. They're always the expectation anyway. So, we're gonna do that. We're going to get out the quarterback. So, I just feel like we just come in, like, as a defense, we're going to be the number one defense in the country. That's my goal.
That's your goal.
That's our goal. That's our team goal. That's our goal. We want to be the defense that everybody talk about. So, that's what we shoot.
Yeah, it was interesting when I was talking to Quindell at the beginning of the summer. He was like, man, everybody's coming. You don't know who's coming. The thing that everybody should know about this Tiger defense this year is that there is going to be pressure from somewhere on the field at any given time. You just don't know where it's coming from. If you're on the offense, right, you just don't know where it's coming from. He even mentioned, man, the band might come out on the field and pressure the quarterback. But this idea that, man, like at any given time, there's not going to be anybody can come. Anybody can get after the quarterback. Anybody can get in the backfield. Has that been exciting for you as you've transitioned into from spring camp to summer workouts now to fall camp? Has that been exciting for you that, man, like, this is going to be built on speed and pressure a lot?
Most definitely. I like to rush the pass anyway, so I'm ready for it.
Is that your thing? You like rushing the passer?
Love it. I've been doing this in, like, high school from a three down to a four down. Like, that's one of my superpowers.
You got that Iron Man radar mask on where you're like, and lock in on the quarterback and just go get him, right?
Yeah.
If you had to take, like, if you had to go for, like, a specific, like, the perfect play where Dallas' eyes light up and go, I'm about to get this dude right now. Is it like a third down and long? Is it them stuck in the back, like stuck like deep back in their side of the field? Like what is the play that your ears perk up and you go, oh, dude, it's coming right now. Like I'm about to get this dude right now.
I will say every play, but I'm not going to say that. I got to say third and long. Third and long, okay. Third and money down. So I'm trying to come out the blocks like a track star. I'm trying to get out of there like a jet. And that's the mentality I have. Like on third down, I tell myself, like, hey, I'm gonna get the quarterback. I gotta be the first one back there. So
this down is the down where Dallas is gonna make all his money, right?
Right, is it?
This third is the money down.
Oh yeah.
I love it. So last couple of questions for you, man. I do need to ask you about being chosen by the Coaches Association for the Good Works team. I know you've probably answered a lot of questions about this. I think it's incredibly interesting and awesome that you have been chosen. I think you joined, like, in the history of Tiger football, there's only been four players that have been nominated and chosen for that team, and you're the latest one. So tell me about your charitable endeavors. Like, what made that become a part of your focus as a college football player?
I feel like I can always give my time to, like, people, like, helping in the community. Like, you never bigger. No, you're not bigger than anyone else. Like, I never put myself, like, in that position, say I'm better than anybody else. Like, I feel like just the little time I do give back, it changed someone else's lives. Like, with the community service, I love it. I've basically been doing, thinking back, I've been doing community service all my life. Like, I just, as a kid, I just, like, drive a trash bag or pick up stuff side of the road in the neighborhood. Like, I didn't know community service at the time. But, like,
you were just doing your thing, right? Like, you.
It just something I always, like, wanted to do, expect to do, something I should do. But, I like I said, I love it. I fell in love with it. I'm gonna, like, just, like, see the looks on the kids' faces. Like, they probably will never know the name, but they'll not understand the jersey number. You know what I'm saying? Like, 97 came talk to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, or 8 came talk to us. Like, they go home and talk about that for, like, next couple months. They'll never forget that. And just a small impact. If I can make an impact on somebody else's life, I'm all for it.
So I saw that you were participating in the Youth Villages training thing with the young kids from Youth Villages with Ashley Fine Furniture or Home Furniture, whichever one it is, at the facility the other day. How dope is it going to be in 10 years? A kid joins the University of Memphis football team, commits, and says, man, when I was 8 years old, I got to come to the facility, and there was this big dude, number 97, that was helping me, that showed me some love that day, and I fell in love with Tiger football and decided this is where I want to go to school. And now he's playing football, or she's playing some sport at the University of Memphis, or just pursuing higher education to better their circumstances. Is that, like, how fulfilling is that going to be for you?
Man, probably a feeling I'll never forget, like, joy, excitement, because, like I said, if I can make an impact on someone's life like that, I don't know. I'd just be with joy, I guess. I'd just be excited.
So I noticed, as I was reading kind of some articles about this, about some of your charitable endeavors that you're a part of, I noticed one in particular that intrigued me, and I wanted to ask you about it. It's the Be the Match, a bone marrow registry program that you're involved in. And for anybody who doesn't know, Be the Match is an organization that registers people that through their bone marrow to help people that have been diagnosed with blood cancers, right? Leukemia. You know, other kinds of just horrible diseases like that. How did you get involved in that? Like, that's so technical. Like, that's so specific. Like, how did you get involved in an organization dealing specifically with bone marrow?
They came and talked to us, and with Miss Lauren Hillman, she had them over. They came and talked to the team, and I felt she was talking about it, and I kind of felt a little, I wanted to get to know it more. So the day they came to campus, I said, hey, I volunteered to, you know, help recruit people. And that's what I did. We had practice the whole week, but I made sure I was there like 11 o'clock. I went to 3. Helping to recruit. I even don't sign my name. Like, if I can one across the world, wherever they are, I'm all for it. No matter where I'm at, I'll be there. Like, if I can help save someone else's life, give them another chance to be here, that'll be the number one thing. That'll be like scratch off like a bucket list. I'll be like happy. Well, I can tell that story to my kids, their kids. Like, hopefully, the story that go on and go on.
So like, for those that are listening that might not understand bone marrow transplants and those kinds of things, like, when someone signs up, when you're registering somebody for that, what are they registering up to do?
And basically, you sign up and you might not mention anybody. Like, it'd probably be 5 or 10 years later. Like, just say me and you, like, you just say I'm in South Carolina, you in Memphis, and you basically, we donated blood, like, they do tests, and, like, just say, like, 10 years from now, I need a blood, and you met, you match with me.
I got you, bro. I got you. Yeah. I'll take care of you.
Oh, yeah. So they contact you and be like, hey, you know, fun fact is that they pay for your travel, everything. You don't pay for nothing. They'll come get you. But they're basically like blood drive, donate blood, really plasma, but really the same thing. And basically give them a like transfer. Like the lady that over it now, she saved someone's life. Save a woman's life.
That's awesome.
And she got, they still communicate to this day. And another lady that she said that she met her husband through be the match.
Hey, so it was a bone marrow match and a love match is what you're saying.
So she done him blood and she, they end up, you know what I'm saying, just come together.
That's amazing. So let me ask you this. If I get sick and I need and you're my match, will I turn into a high level Division I defensive lineman as well?
Hey, you probably got a little DNA.
So got a little juice, baby. I'm joking. It's not a joke of matter, but that won't happen, people. You got to get off the couch and put in the work that Ordalis does to be able to get to that level. And you don't have to be 40 and don't be 41 and it's over with. At 41, it's over, Wardalis. Enjoy 24. All right. So I got a few. Say that again.
At 41?
41, man. So I'm getting old. The beard has gray in it now, man. It's sad. It's a sad day. Say it again.
You're just not getting started.
Just now getting started, man. All right, I got a few questions for you. Fan questions. They want to get to know you a little bit more. All right.
Okay.
What is the one place in Memphis that you found that you love to eat at? Like, what's your favorite restaurant to eat at in the city of Memphis?
I gotta give the Gus. I love chicken.
Yeah.
Gus.
You like the hot chicken or do you like the Uncle Lou's sweet chicken?
I never tried Uncle Lou's. Never tried it.
Uncle Lou, step up. Uncle Lou, get Wardalis over there, man. I'm telling you, bro.
It's good.
Because I'm a sissy, man. That I love Gus's chicken. But it's hot. Like, I start sweating. I start getting heated up. I can't handle the hot. But Uncle Lou's sweet chicken, man, is just, it's one of the greatest.
With the Kool-Aid, right?
Oh, man, come on. Yeah, man. It's fire.
See, my family told me about it. They came up here to a game. They went and edit. And they always say, bring Uncle Lou chicken back. I said, I don't know about Uncle Lou. Ain't never been. So.
You got to hit it up, man. It's so good. All right. If you could only watch one movie and listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be? Only one movie and one album.
One movie, one album. I gotta go with Life, Ed and Mark Life. You ever watch that?
I'm the pappy.
And the album, I gotta go with Lil Boosie, Scrubber.
Yeah, man. You a Boosie guy, huh?
And and Live something there, man.
Give me your cornbread.
Oh, yeah. A fun fact is that I actually learned how to. We always joke about it, but in D line room, we be pad rushing and working like a double swipe.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, when y'all bring y'all swipe, be like Jang Lang on the baseball.
Jang Lang. Oh, man. That movie. Oh, such a good choice, man. That's the first time anybody said Life, and that is just. I mean, Martin Lawrence, dude, he is another level of funny. And Eddie Murphy, but those two, There's Wild right. Boys, man. I love that movie so much.
My favorite part, I say, when they got older, and I toe stuck in the bottom. That's the best scene ever.
Man, you're gonna make me have to go back and rewatch that movie, man. It's been too long.
I might watch it tonight. I got to.
Oh man, that is such a good choice. That honestly might be the best choice of anybody that has answered this question over the last 2 months. Like it is, that is just a fantastic movie. Good choice, man. All right, last question for you. Oh gosh, man, all I got is life quotes running through my brain right now. How do you decompress from football? What's a hobby you enjoy?
I love fishing.
Yeah?
Love fishing. I love brim fishing. Not so much on bass. I can bass fish, but brim, that's my go-to.
Who's a better fisherman, you or Cam?
I'm a better fisher.
Yeah, yeah. Jalen said he's getting into it too, though. So.
Oh, yeah, me. The men together, me and Jalen, we hopped around a couple ponds here trying to find. We ain't found no like good spot yet.
Yeah,
Mississippi, like we of course you know we got like stock ponds like
everywhere. There are ponds everywhere.
Like you can, they ain't hard to find no pond in Mississippi, but here some reason like at the same time.
I feel you. Hey, there are a lot of really good ponds. Some of them are on private property. I need Memphis Tiger fans to hit up Wardalis on Twitter and on IG. Hit him in the DMs. Give him some spots that him and some of the guys can come and listen, man, we want these dudes to be at their best. And part of that is decompression and recovery. And what a better way to decompress and recover than to get out there and go fishing, man. So I need some Tiger fans to let these guys know where they can fish at. Because there are some good spots here in Memphis. You just got to go. You just got to find them, right?
Oh, that's it.
Would you, if somebody hits you up, would you go?
Wide open.
Come on.
Ashley got my fishing pole in the trunk now.
You got it on your shoulder right now, ready to go. No, I'm just playing. That's hilarious, man. I love it. I love fishing. Fishing is so relaxing. So, yeah, man, if any Memphis Tiger fans, hit up Wardalis, man. Give him a spot to go fishing at, man. The man needs to decompress. He's got a lot going on right now.
And look, hey, appreciate the shout out. I'm gonna show we need it. But
hey, Wardalis. Thank you, man.
Man, thank you.
I really appreciate you joining me, man. I know I feel bad that on your one day off from being out in the hot sun, you had to jump on the phone with me, but I really appreciate you joining me.
Man, hey, thanks for having me. I'll do it again. Pleasure to be on here. And hopefully we can get on again.
Yeah, man. I know Memphis Tiger fans are cheering you on, and just a lot of love for all the work that you're doing off the field, man. I think it's an incredible it shows a lot about the character of a man when he is willing to use the platform that he's earned to actually give back to others, man. So, like, not only are you a phenomenal football player, but even a better human being by doing what you're doing. And so congratulations on the Good Works team being chosen for that. And man, good luck this entire year. We are rooting for you big time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tigers and 20 Off the Boards. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a rating and a comment wherever you download your podcast. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, head over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.